Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By, and we are kicking it up tonight with our Street Smart Spirituality Hour. I'm telling you, if you are ready for this show, I can only say one thing for you. Fasten your seatbelt. We just keep getting better and better and better. And, you know, my show tonight, I want to thank you, all of you, for calling in, for doing what you do. This show tonight is one of the most incredible shows that I have been looking forward to in a long time. Michael Corey is joining me, world-renowned celebrity psychic medium, author, spiritual advisor. He has read royalty, American presidents, movie stars, people like you, and probably me tonight. And so he is an expert in communicating with spirits, loved ones, and people that have passed on to the other side. Michael, let's kick it off. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Well, you know, it's really funny. I think maybe what I should do is introduce myself to your listeners and talk a little bit about how this all began in my life, because as I told you before we started tonight, I went to the movies today and was sitting there watching the Spiderwick Chronicles, and the lights were flashing off and on in the theater, and all of a sudden I realized I was sitting in a haunted theater.
Oh, my God.
Not just because the lights were flashing off and on, but a woman materialized in the row across from me and kept staring at me. And, of course, when I looked over at her, she was transparent, and that's pretty much the way spirits are. They're not always transparent. Sometimes they are as solid as you are to me and I am to you if we were sitting across from each other, you know. But everywhere I go, whether it's the restroom or an amusement park or a church, spirits are around me. I'm kind of like a magnet for spirits, and this has been happening since I was 8 years old. I was run over by a car a couple blocks from my home in Burbank, California. And I wasn't injured really horribly, but enough that I was bleeding, and it was pretty scary. And
How old were you then, Michael?
Eight. I was
wow.
Like eight.
Well, that's traumatic.
It was very traumatic, and even more so for the man who hit me, because he jumped out of his old 1950s jalopy. He, you know, pulled my little limp body from under the car, and he said, oh my God, are you okay? And I couldn't hear him. It was like my hearing was, the wind was sort of knocked out of me. But I can remember seeing all these colors around him that I never saw before. There were dogs barking. I could see them barking, but I couldn't hear them barking. But their auras were red and orange, these colors, you know. Now, at 8 years old, I didn't know what an aura was, but it was just bizarre. And women came out with towels and ice, and they were, you know, trying to, you know, wipe off the blood. And I had borrowed my brother's bicycle without permission, of course, and it was mangled under the car. And the guy pulled it out, put it in the back of his trunk, asked me where I live, put me in the back seat of his car, drove me home. My mom had just come home from work. She comes running out, my baby, my baby. My brother's standing there, my bike, you know. But the thing was, I was okay. But I was, you know, really traumatized by the whole thing. But I started to see these colors. And then I was an altar boy in church. I was raised Catholic, still Catholic today. And the first spirits I ever saw were actually in church.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because, you know, having grown up as well Catholic, and I had gone to Catholic boarding school,
uh-huh.
You know, the blessing, every time I say that, people go, oh, you poor thing. And,
right.
You know, and I stepped back and I said, you know what, that experience, and I was 7
uh-huh.
years old,
uh-huh.
And that experience, though, at that young age, in a boarding school, we are surrounded by such bright light.
Right.
And spirituality.
Oh, yeah.
Can change your life forever. I mean, if you're going to learn how to tap in to the elements,
right.
You're going to do it in a setting like that. But you know, when we talk about this, Michael, mm-hmm. when we look at, you know, the world that you live in every day,
mm-hmm.
and what you just described about
mm-hmm.
going to the movies, there are people that have done this and see like you see, mm-hmm. but are so ashamed.
Well, of course they are, and they're frightened, and, you know, I'm like that, too. I've lectured all over the country. I've done hundreds of TV shows and radio interviews, and whenever I mention I was Catholic, the same thing comes up. Well, what do you think the Catholic Church thinks about what you do? And I'm like, I don't care what they think. This is a God-given gift. God didn't put me on this earth to, you know, and not put me into a Catholic school for 9 years and allow spirits to appear to me in church and in other places for nothing. You know, everything happens for a reason. I really believe that.
Yep.
And I've read for two popes. I've read for lots of priests and nuns. In fact, on my bio, I met Dr. Thelma Moss when I was 16, who was the first woman in America to get a degree in parapsychology, a full, accredited degree. And she had a lab at UCLA. And when I was in ninth grade, I went to a Catholic high school in Burbank, and that was also haunted, by the way. And my counselor was a nun, and she was studying psychology, and as an elective course, she took a class on parapsychology. And I was confiding in her, and we had trouble at home. My brother was a drug addict and very abusive to all of us, physically, verbally, whatever, and unfortunately. But at least I had someone to confide in, and he used to beat me up all the time. And again, traumatic experiences. I used to think that maybe he knocked something loose in my brain, and that's why I had this gift, But as I talked to her, I described a woman standing behind her, and I said, she's appearing to me in solid form, which means that she's very close to you. And I said, her name is Martha. And I could hear her say, oh, my God, my mom. And I said, is your mother ill? And she said, yes. I said, she's dying of cancer, right? She said, yes. I said, it's ovarian, right? She said, yes. I said, and she's had breast cancer, right? Yes, both breasts have been removed. I mean, her mother was standing right next to her, right behind her. And I just read this nun like a book. And I said, well, your mother wants me to tell you that she's okay now. There's no more pain. And call your sister. So she literally left the room, called her sister. Mother had just died in a hospital back in Ohio where they lived. And she came back in the room. Of course, she was crying, but she hugged me, and she said, oh, my God, thank you so much, because I've been praying and asking God to give me a sign when the time was coming close so I would know to be able to go back there, and this was the sign. Well, after she came back from her trip, after the funeral and whatnot, her mother kept coming to me in dreams, and so I had a whole bunch of things to tell her about her mom. One of the things was, where was her 5-carat pink diamond ring? They couldn't find it.
Oh, my God.
And they had sold her house. And she had, mother had also had Alzheimer's, a little bit of Alzheimer's or dementia, and they called it that then, And they couldn't find the will, and they couldn't find the ring, and the mother told me where all these things were in the family home, and they were able to find everything on the list, like 6 items that needed to be found. So that was the beginning of that. Well, I was much more in tune in those days, but children, after all these years and all the research I've done to try to figure out how it is that I can do what I can with these abilities and what they're all about, I realize that children are much more psychic than adults.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you probably know that. We've all
I totally get that. Yeah. I mean, I think about myself. I mean, I was seeing dead people, in a house in the Bronx, when I was 9 years old, and had the whole, police department and everybody there because I, it's like you're talking about. These folks showed up as if they were in full dress.
Sure.
They were living in the house,
right.
And I thought the house was being ransacked.
And you know what happens is that what I've learned today, 30-something years later, I've learned that ghosts are not, they shouldn't be feared because they're not going to hurt you. It's not like it is in the movies. I mean, there are evil spirits, there are good spirits, but 99% of the ghosts who haunt the earth are these positive spirits that have died, and they don't know they're dead. So what do? They go back to the place that's most familiar to them, their house, their office, the hospital, the place where they died. I mean, there's many, many different types of spirits and different experiences, just as there are millions of different people and millions of different experiences on the earth with us, And in your case, they were just doing what they did when they were alive. They would come in, they would open the door, they'd close the door, they'd lock it, they'd bring the groceries in, they'd put down their keys. Sometimes we humans can hear those things. Even if that house was torn down and you were living in a brand new house or a condo or something, the layout might have been very similar. And I always say ghosts don't haunt the house, they haunt the land the house was on.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense to me.
So when I go to investigate haunted houses, like I did an investigation a few years ago in Ohio, in a little town called Utica, Ohio. It's like Mayberry. It's like a one-horse town, But this guy from California had bought a condo there, and he heard me on one of the, I think he saw me on The View or something, one of the TV shows, got in touch with me and asked if I could come and investigate his house. That's exactly what was happening. This big, giant, old Victorian mansion that had been there for over 100 years had been torn down, and condominiums had been put in its place. Well, the layout of the condos was almost identical to the layout of the original house, including parking your car on the street, walking up a flight of steps to the front porch, walking up a flight of steps to the foyer of the condominium complex. It was identical. and then you went to the right, you went to one condo, that would have been the front parlor, the back would have been the kitchen, the dining room, and so have you. And then they went upstairs, and it was a bedroom, a bathroom, a bedroom. You know, it was very interesting. Well, the Victorian house at one time had been a bordello.
Oh.
And the spirits that were there were having sex. And he could hear the moaning and the groaning of the men, the dons. You know, it was hilarious, you know. And I documented it well. And then we did, the Travel Channel came out and brought me back there. And we did a TV special there, which will be out around Halloween of this year. But it was very interesting. But those spirits did not want to leave.
Did you ever, you know, and I want to let everybody know, those of you just tuning into the Dr. Pat Show, we've got a show for you tonight. I mean, if you're tuning in, you're probably on the edge of your seat right now.
Saying, what?
What are they talking about? Michael Curry joining me here today. We're opening up the phone lines for anybody out there. I just want to, you know, just give everybody a heads up right now, because I know what happens when I give out this number. It just, we just jam it up, but that's okay.
Sure. And I can try to read them a little bit over the air. I don't like to do readings over the air very much, but if a caller has some question that an information comes through to me and their spirit guides come through, I'll certainly share that with them.
So. Oh, let's kick it up. 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. You know, Michael, are there times when you just absolutely want to shut it all down,
but
have a difficult time doing that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at you. You went to the movies today trying to get away from the heat.
Right.
And then, you know, somebody's relative shows up.
It was so funny. And it was funny, too, because I'm pretty well known in Pasadena. I'm the first person to write a book about the ghosts of Pasadena, my town. It's not my hometown, but it's my town. And I've been the first to write books on lots of other places, like the San Gabriel Valley, and I wrote a book called True Hauntings of Alcatraz Island. And I'm not the first to write a book on Alcatraz, but the first psychic medium to write a book about his personal experiences there, you know. And I've been to the Winchester House and the Queen Mary and all kinds of places, but all over the country, too. Even Ground Zero, I was the first psychic medium to go to Ground Zero after the disaster. And I talked about that a little bit on The View when I was on with Meredith Vieira. I did a seance in Meredith Vieira's dining room at her house in Sleepy Hollow, New York. And that was kind of cool. And yes, I can turn it off. Somehow, I can't tell you how I do that, but I have learned how to sort of turn off the little switch in my brain, I guess, you know, that I can turn it on and turn it off as I need it. Another thing that's kind of interesting about being a medium is that, you know, now with TV shows like Medium and Ghost Whisperer and
Everywhere.
Taps and all these shows, I wanted to do that. I wanted to show what really happens during an investigation. Most of the time, you get not much of anything. The equipment that these people are supposedly using is just BS. I mean, there are electrometers and magnetometers, but magnetometers were designed for electricians who need to cut into a wall so that they wouldn't cut into electrical wires and get a perm or get killed, you know. They're not ghost hunting tools. And it's embarrassing that I have to say this on your show, but it's true. And a lot of people are getting ripped off by buying this equipment. The best equipment for investigating, if you want to do this, is a pendulum or dowsing rods. You can use a natural dowsing rod, which is a stick. You can get it off of any tree, you know. But for me, my left side of my body was run over by the car, and for some reason my left side of my body will tremble when I'm near spirit, especially spirit that's agitated or aggravated. And most of the spirits who come through are just normal people, like I said, you know, but for some reason when it was their time to move on into the next dimension or the afterlife, they didn't know where to go, and so they've sort of gotten stuck. I was telling Bobby yesterday that my main focus as a psychic medium is to help the spirit first. Help them understand where they are. Help them to understand that they don't need to come back anymore. If they're ready to move on, they can. I sort of do what you do with the corporate people, teaching them how to, you know, raise their vibrations and how to be better people. But I do this with the spirits. I help them make peace with the memory of their life.
Let me ask you a question about that, Michael,
sure.
Because, you know, I was thinking about today's show, and I had so many questions that, you know, recently, myself and some friends, we've lost some people very close to us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions that I wanted to ask you about is the behavior that those of us that stay behind actually get into after we lose someone. And what I mean by that is we go through the scripts, we go through, you know, the gyrations of, oh, if I would have only done this, oh, if I would have only done that,
yeah.
oh, if I would have just, you know, done this sooner.
Right.
I mean, does this, as it would imply in some movies and television, does this actually connect to those spirits and hold them here?
Absolutely. Very good question. That's a great question. You're very intelligent. Most people don't ask that, and I love this because it's true.
They didn't warn you about the questions I asked, did they?
No, they didn't.
All right.
I love it. But I'm psychic, so I picked it up.
Yeah.
How psychic I am. Well, you know, it's interesting. I remember one time when I was in the fifth grade, I had this teacher that nobody liked. She was from New York, and she was a redhead, and she was heavy and tough, and her name was Mrs. Clara Cusio. And I can say that now because she's long gone. But I was like, I don't know, 11 years old, I guess, and having trouble with math, and I had seen visions in her classroom. I mean, Mary would appear to me in the classroom. So would Jesus. I had saints appearing to me, telling me things. All the teachers thought I was daydreaming. They used to write letters to my mom. You know, Michael needs to focus. But I wasn't daydreaming. I was bored. I was so intelligent that I was almost like smarter than what they were teaching in some ways. But except for math, it was very confusing. So I was after school with her, and it was a hard day. It had been a long, hot day. And I just couldn't understand what she was teaching me. I think it was like, you know, beginning algebra or whatever. And I was just pre-focused on other things. And all of a sudden, the statue of the Virgin Mary just turned into spirit, and the spirit of a woman, it wasn't Mary, it was like a nun, her name was Mother Cabrini, who was the first American, Italian-born but American citizen, canonized a saint in the Catholic Church, and she's one of my saints that I pray
to. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And very powerful as a spirit. Anyway, she appeared to me, and she said to tell Grace, and I didn't know her first name, she was Mrs. Clara Cusio, but tell Grace that her husband would be leaving soon. Now, I told you about a story earlier where this happened, but that wasn't the norm.
Yeah.
That wasn't the norm for me. I didn't, you know, see car accidents and stuff all the time. But I looked at her and I said, don't worry, Mrs. Clara Cusio. Your husband's going to be at peace really soon, and then everything is going to be fine. And she just looked at me, and she was just dumbfounded. And she says, okay, Michael, I think we're done for today. Well, the next day, she didn't come back to school. We had a sub. And everybody was asking, you know, where she was, and they said that her husband had died in his sleep that night. And then Friday we had a student mass. You remember that? Probably went to mass every Friday, too, when
were
in Catholic school, you know?
Absolutely.
And we had a mass and a memorial service for him, and I sang in the choir, and I heard her voice, and she's like, where's Michael J. Curry? I need to speak to him. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. What did I do, you know? And she actually came and gave me a book. She gave me a gift and thanked me and hugged me. And told me also, like my nun, you know, later in life, that she had been praying and praying and asking for a sign. But I saw him in his casket, in the vision that the nun, that Mother Cabrini showed me. I saw the funeral, I saw the incense, I saw the priest and what he was wearing. This vision just flashed before me, and I knew everything about what was going to happen. And when we had the funeral, everything played out just as I had seen. So when I remember being in church and talking to her years later, because I was the music director of that church for like 16 years, and I saw spirits for funerals and stuff all the time, and I realized that I really was a medium, that I wasn't just a psychic, because I could see them, communicate with them, and what. But there would be these people in the church, these older Hispanic people, perhaps. Well, I grew up in an area of Los Angeles where it was predominantly Hispanic and old Irish and Italians, and the women wore veils on their heads, and these men would be on their knees, crawling up the aisle, the center aisle, during Mass, praying the rosary. And I knew what they were doing. They were praying for the repose of the souls of their sons and daughters and wives and whoever. But that was their old-school way. Their belief was that you have to pray for this soul long after their death. Well, Mrs. Clara Cusio didn't believe in that. She was a much more modern thinker. And she asked me, and I said, you know, the longer you pray for someone, the longer you hold their soul earthbound, you're not allowing them to move on and do whatever
and
you need to do.
And that's at the core of my question.
That's right.
And I think that, you know, the information that we just shared with folks is so important
right.
in this ongoing progressive conversation we're
right.
having
right.
because we don't even know what we're doing.
Right.
Let's go to the phones. I believe we have somebody joining us here tonight, Michael Corey on the line right here on the Dr. Pat Show. Who's calling in?
Yes, this is Nick, and I'm calling from Costa Rica.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Okay.
I haven't heard from you in a while. It's great to have you on the show.
I'm kind of wondering. But... Yes, my mother and father have passed on, and I'm wondering if they might come through tonight. I've taken a lot of pictures with a digital camera in my house, and they get a lot of orbs.
Okay.
And
are you sure that what you're getting are really orbs, though?
Oh, yes.
Okay, what
I
is
am
an
sure.
orb?
Well, it could be a spirit. I don't know.
No, but tell me what you're getting in your pictures. The only reason I'm asking is I get thousands of emails every week from people all over the world who think that they're getting orbs in their film from their digital cameras, and a lot of times they're perfectly round shapes and they're not orbs. They're actually light infractions that are getting in underneath the lens of the camera. And
well,
it depends on the shapes that you get. Orbs usually appear in showers of like thousands of them at a time, and that's really what orbs are. So I don't mean to sound, you know, condescending to you, but I just want to make sure that you
well,
really
I think
know
it's important
is.
To clarify, and
absolutely.
I think that's what Michael is doing because, you know, part of this conversation is, you know, to value and honor each of us that says yes to this spiritual journey.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes, and I don't know that you knew much about it, Michael, but we don't even know what we're saying yes to. We just know, you know what, I'm seeing something that I've not seen before.
Right. But, I mean, I always explain to my clients and people, my fans, you know, what they might have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you a question, Nick. It's hard for me to hear you because you sound really, really, really far away. And you
He's
are.
In Costa Rica.
You are far away, right.
Well, it should come through pretty good.
There you go.
I can't tell you that the name I'm going to give you is your mother or your father, but for some reason I'm hearing the name Louise around you very, very strong. And I'm wondering who that is.
Not anyone I know of.
Okay.
You know, a friend's mother, but I believe she's still here.
Well, it could also be a spirit guide for you. And that's what I also, I don't just, you know, talk to the dead. I talk to those living in the afterlife. And a lot of us, well, we all have spirit guides. Actually, you have four from what I'm getting a number four. Louise is standing in front of me right now holding the number four in her hand. And she is saying, she's nodding, saying that she is a spirit guide for you. And she's been with you since you were 4 years old. And you're from the United States, is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I was born in Vermont.
Okay. Because she's telling me something about, it's hard, now I get a lot of symbology, too. She's telling me something about a dog that you might have had as a child. I'm not hearing the name. But, were you bit by a dog?
Once. Yeah.
Okay, but was it really severe? I mean, was it really a traumatic experience for you?
Well, I still remember it.
Okay, well,
you
go. So now, I mean, of course, I would, you know, when I do readings over the phone, just to clarify this, Dr. Pat, too, what I usually do is I ask my clients to send me a current color photograph of themselves because I can read auras and photographs. And then as we're talking on the phone, I can bond more with their energy and tap into their spirit guides and all of that. It's really difficult over the radio, but I'll do the best I can.
You know? All right, go for it.
Yeah, but that's what I'm hearing from you, that Louise has been with you since you were a child, since you were bit by that dog.
No other names for spirit guides?
I don't hear anything else around you at this time.
Mm-hmm.
But talk to her, because when we talk to our loved ones on the other side, I mean, your mother and father may have already reincarnated. It's very possible. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people die and they don't stay on the earth plane. If they have raised their vibrational energy to the highest level that they needed to raise it, they don't have to come back. They move on to the next life or the next series of lives that they have to live. Maybe your mom and dad are spirit guides now. You know, it could be that.
I'm hoping I don't have to come back.
Well, I do, too. I hope I'm done, you know.
Yes,
but I'm also hearing the name Tim. Now, Dr. Pat, this could be for you. Do you know anybody named Tim or Timmy?
Well, you know, I know a couple of Kims, actually.
Okay, this one's blonde, dark blonde, mustache, or a very faint mustache, perhaps, but not in spirit. He's alive.
Okay.
Okay. And Louise, who is acting as Nick's spirit guide or is Nick's spirit guide, is telling me that something's going on with Tim, something where he's going to need some serious counseling, some serious advice. But he probably won't ask you as a client. He'll ask you more as a friend. Now, I don't know what this is for you. You know, when I do a reading, I look at it this way. It's like putting together a giant jigsaw puzzle of your life, and I don't know you at all. I've seen your picture on your website, but that's about it, you know. So I will ask my clients questions during the reading. I will describe the symbology I'm getting, the color of hair. I'm very, very visual, very artistic, so I get a lot of information. But my average reading runs 2 hours long.
Oh, you know, and sometimes, I mean, I would imagine Michael, that is, you know, what we actually need to really absorb everything that's coming through.
Well, that's right. And not only do I give them a reading, but, you know, if you go to my website at icghost.com, I clearly say on there, you know, what to expect during a reading. One time I got a call from a celebrity who was recommended from another celebrity, and I said, well, why do you want a reading? And she goes, what? I said, well, why do you want a reading? You know? And she says, well, I want to know if I'm on the right path. I said, okay, then I'll read for you. And she says, well, what would have been the determining factor? I said, well, I don't really read for everybody who calls me. I want to know that it's someone who doesn't want to know when they're going to get a raise or have a baby or when they're going to fall in love. I mean, you can go to the $5, you know, pier and get a palm reading or something for that. And not to mock those people, because
right. They're
very valid, too, in some ways. But my readings are more about what are you doing in your life and are you on the right spiritual path? Are you doing what you need to do to help others, to help yourself? I mean, everybody's here to do what they need to do, but some people get stuck and they don't know what that is. I introduce them to their personal spirit guides by name and description, and they can ask an unlimited amount of questions in that time period for the low price. And then if they want to go on after 2 hours, I'll go on up to 4 hours, and then I have to cut it off because it's very draining work for me. But I also read their aura, and I draw the colors that I see around them on a special chart that I've designed that tells me other things about them. Do they have a vitamin deficiency? Do they need to go and have a breast exam or a prostate exam or whatever? You know, there's all kinds of information that comes through. And I wish I had a medium that I could go to get the kind of reading that I give, because I don't know of anybody else who does that.
Well, and, you know, that's going to be one of my questions. You know, I just want to get back to Nick. Nick.
Yeah.
How are we doing? Did we answer your question? Are you good to go?
Well, I guess. I guess there's nothing more. You can't see my aura without.
No, I would need
picture.
To see your photograph. I have to see, and I'm not on a cam right now, so I can't see you at all.
Well, we'll have to bring you back, and we'll, you know, kick it up a couple notches.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you.
When Dr. Pat does a 4-hour show.
There you go. Thank you, Nick.
Okay,
Thanks for calling in.
Take care. Bye bye.
Now let's talk a little bit, Michael, about, you know, some of the things that you have done. And I just want to give people a sense of this.
Sure.
That, you know, you have done readings for people that are pretty well known.
Absolutely.
And I respect the fact that you're not going to share anything about your current clients, because that would not be cool.
No, I can't do that.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that are no longer with us that maybe we could talk about a little bit. My question is this. You know, out of all the people that, you know, you have been able to connect with, has there been any of them that surprised you, scared you, or had you really rethink everything you've learned about spirituality?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm just getting chills as you're asking this question. The Dalai Lama was one. I've had audience with him twice.
Mm-hmm.
I get teary-eyed when I talk about him. He is a beautiful man. He's a human being, and he's made mistakes, and he's told me that. And even though he's alive, you know, but he is one man that really inspired me. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a client who had killed herself, unfortunately. She was bipolar, and when she joined some kind of a religious cult that told her that, you know, people go through their life medicated that don't really need their meds, and she went off her meds, and she absolutely needed her lithium to stay balanced. And she hadn't been on it for like 6 months, and she lost her house and her car, and she was the number one real estate agent, you know, in an area of L.A., and everything just went into the toilet. Poor thing. She just, you know, and I even had to end my friendship with her because she was calling my mom, and she was, you know, making death threats, and my dad had just died, and my mom didn't need that. It was just a horrible time, right? So anyway, she, before she was in one of her nasty modes, she gave me a gift for my birthday, and it was this beautiful quartz crystal wand, and this thing is like, gosh, it's like almost 3 feet long. It was very expensive, but she wanted me to have it, and so she gave it to me, and then 3 weeks later, she killed herself, and it's something about the threes, you know, it was really interesting, and her birthday was March, and she was March 3rd, and so it was like, you know, 3-3, she born in 33, it was kind of a weird thing, but anyway, so I go to, you know, several months later, I'm doing a psychic event, a lecture, and I'm talking about healing yourself with crystals and amethyst, and I brought this wand, and I had cleared it, and a lot of people believed that it was a healing tool. And I had it in my car, and I didn't want to leave it in there, and that evening I was going to UCLA to have audience with the Dalai Lama and thousands of other people. So I put it under my coat and had it on my lap in this auditorium. And he's on the stage, and he's talking about all these different things, and I noticed he kept losing his train of thought. And he kept looking over towards me, and I was sort of sitting in the back, you know, to the left of the auditorium. And he kept looking at me, and he finally came down the stairs and came to the aisle where I was sitting. And he looked down at me, and he said, "Would you like me to bless that crystal wand that you brought with you tonight?"
Oh, my gosh.
It was under my coat. Nobody could see it. Nobody even knew I had it, you know. It was the weirdest thing. And I said, "Oh, yes, of course," you know. And so I handed it to him, and he held it up. And he said to me, he laughed, and he said, "That thing has been blinding me ever since I started speaking, even though it was underneath your coat." And when I pulled it out, the audience just gasped. I mean, they were just like, "Oh," you know, nobody could believe I had this wand. And so from then on, I was invited to have audience with him and have dinner with him. And it was a really neat experience. So he's one. Another one I would say would be Pope
John. He's actually coming to the Seattle area in April.
Oh, is he really?
Yep,
oh,
for
okay,
the
right.
You know, Seeds of Compassion.
He's
yeah.
an amazing, amazing, amazing human being.
Mm.
And I was honored to be in his presence. I've also met Nelson Mandela, and he's another really amazing gentleman. And Maya Angelou. I mean, these are people that are alive, obviously. But another person who's deceased that really blew me away was Mother Teresa, and I met her as well. I didn't read her, but I got to meet her. I got to see her aura and stuff. It was interesting. And then the next one, I guess, would have to be Princess Diana.
And I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, yeah. I
because there
life.
Are some people that, upon her passing,
mm-hmm.
their lives came apart.
Oh, mine did. Oh, my God. I was talking to a friend late that night, had the TV on in the background, heard the announcement, was shocked beyond belief. I mean, I hadn't seen her for about 8 years, but I was just shocked beyond belief and sat there and just broke down, and I just lost it. And I lost it for days. I was so upset that they couldn't save her. You know, even though I'm a spiritual person and even though I'm a medium and I deal with this every day with death and life and living and beauty, but she was a woman that I really feel was her life ended too soon. And I wonder if she'll be coming back and living that life over again. I don't believe she was murdered by the Queen. I think that's a bunch of crock, you know, crock of, I probably can't mention this on the air, so I won't say the S word. I've also met the Queen. I mean, she's stern and she's royal, very, very royal, but she has to be. That's her job, you know. Diana was, God, how do I describe her? She was a flame. She was a candle flame. She wasn't a beauty. She was pretty, but she wasn't a beauty, you know, not like some of the models today. But I was singing at an event in California. I was hired to sing at this event. Had no idea she was going to be the guest of honor. And Prince Andrew, they were both the guests. And I had to learn this old music of Robert Burns. It was kind of interesting. And anyway, the trumpeters came in, and the man came out and rolled out a scroll and announced, you know, "Her Royal Highness Diana of Windsor." I almost had a heart attack. I couldn't believe that, oh, my God, I'm the entertainment for Princess Diana. And she was wearing this beautiful dress. It was white, and it had little pearls sewn onto it all over. I think you've seen pictures of that. I think she wore it to the White House when the Reagans were in office.
Exactly, right. Okay,
beautiful
yeah.
Dress,
mm-hmm.
Beautiful shoes, beautiful diamonds. She wore a tiara. She had the necklace. I mean, she just looked like the young, beautiful queen. And Andrew came in wearing a kilt, you know. And during the event, she asked for my hand to dance, and I got to dance with her. I think she and I and Andrew were the youngest people in the whole place, you know. It was really a great experience. And I had to fill out this long questionnaire about, you know, who I am and what I do, and I had no idea that she knew that I was a medium, but she asked me during the dance if I would read for her, and that was the first time that I read for her. And she had gone back to England and then came back to Los Angeles, and I met with her at her hotel room. And she wouldn't let me leave. Her reading lasted for 6.5 hours.
You know, when you did that reading, did you have a sense that her life would end the way it did?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And I think this is a point, Michael, worth clarifying for
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it really gets to the issue of, you know, what abilities, psychic abilities one has, how you develop them,
mm-hmm.
and what you do or don't do. And
well,
because the minute that a psychic gets
mm-hmm,
on the air
mm-hmm.
and says, blah, 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 this is going to happen, and it doesn't happen,
right.
everybody goes berserk.
Like Sylvia Brown. They jump down her throat. She's made a lot of mistakes. You know, and I don't know her. I don't know much about her.
Mm-hmm.
I've read a little bit about her. I've read some of her books and things. And, you know, some of the things I identify with, but some of the things I absolutely don't. I mean, I don't think everybody's 35 on the other side. I've seen spirits that are 80 and 90 and 10 and 12, and you know, but that's her experience. It's coming from what she has encountered in her lifetime. And that's, as you said at the beginning of the show, that's one thing that people have to understand is that we don't always have all the answers. I'm an expert on parapsychology. I could talk about ghosts all day long. I've given, you know, lots of seminars. I enjoy doing it. I do, you know, private classes. I teach people how to tap into their abilities, but I can't give you what I have. And I cannot, certainly cannot predict everything. When people walk up to me and think I'm reading their minds, I don't read minds. It doesn't work like that. It's not like it is in the movies. We're not Whoopi Goldberg and in Ghost. I mean, it really isn't like that. But there are where I meet people and I shake their hand and their life flashes before me and I see everything about them. Or I'm sitting face to face with somebody at dinner, their face will change and I'll see a man or a woman if they're vice versa. And I believe that what I'm seeing is I'm bonding with their past lives and I'm seeing the way they looked in past lives. But every reading is different for every person. No two readings are really ever alike. When I read for Diana, her questions were more about, should I divorce the prince? You know, it was really more about that. She was depressed. She was sad. She did not get along with the queen and the queen mother. You know, everybody knows that. They've read all these books about her. But the true Diana was very, very disappointed in the way things worked out. I don't think she really wanted to marry the prince. I think her family encouraged her to do it. Have you seen the new movie, The Other Boleyn Girl?
It's actually, I was going to go see it last weekend.
Okay, go see it, because that story made me think of Diana.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see it, you'll understand. They're, you know, the Boleyns were sort of pushed into meeting the king from their family for money. And I feel like Diana sort of had that same kind of thing, without getting into all the politics and stuff, you know. I don't think she would have married Dodi. I think that they were just friends, you know. But it's a shame that she died so tragically, and I do believe that she was killed by the paparazzi.
And there are a lot of people that believe that, and I think that there have been, you know, many people connecting with that energy, you know, that talk about that.
Oh, yeah, look at Britney Spears, that poor little girl. You know, she's just a little girl. She should not have had children when she did, but, you know, I keep saying, well, where were her parents? Well, we could say that until we're blue in the face, but again, I believe that everything happens as it should. We choose the life we're going to live, the parents we're going to have, the city we're going to be born in, where we're going to go. I believe in the Akashic Records. I believe that everything is on file there. You can tap into that. You can with a medium, you know. But there's so many aspects. I mean, you know, we're almost out of time, I guess, but there's so much more to talk about that would take hours. But the bottom line is, if you want to tap into your abilities, find somebody who is accredited, is credible. Find out what their past is like. You know, I mean, talk to them. Talk to people that have studied with them. There are a lot of charlatans out there, and we have to be careful of that.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, some of the charlatans give people like me a bad name.
Well, you know, you have written, I just want to share this about Michael so that everybody knows. You know, over 27 books. You have some new books soon to be released.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on true hauntings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is really, when we look at people, you can ask your psychic for their credentials.
I have people come up to me and say, they recognize me. Somebody recognized me today in a restaurant at lunch. Oh, my God, you're that psychic guy I see on TV, you know. And she was wearing a tank top and she was wearing sweatpants and she put her arms out and spread her legs really wide and she goes, what am I thinking? And I said, well, I can't tell you what you're thinking, but I think you need to get some deodorant, you know. And I just laughed about it. It was a joke, but I mean, I was mad that she did that to me. That was insulting to me. Because
we
don't read minds.
No,
it doesn't work like that.
It's a huge lack of understanding.
That's
but
right.
There's so much out there, Michael, right now,
right,
that is misrepresenting just an incredible talent and ability. Let's go to the phones. We have somebody joining us. Who do we have on the phone tonight?
Linda.
Hey, Linda, welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm good.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Good.
Now, how can we help you tonight?
Well, this is going to sound a little weird, but something happened one night when I was sleeping. I don't know what it was. I don't know who it was. But I woke up, and you know how you think you're awake, but you're not sure whether you're sleeping or whether you're awake?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was asleep. I turned over, and for some reason my eyes opened, and there was a shadow. No, it wasn't really a shadow, but it was the face, and it was all white around it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who it was. They didn't
okay.
say anything. So, you know, like you get kind of freaked. So I closed my eyes, and I said, okay, go back to sleep. And I turned around, and it was still there.
Uh-huh.
and it wouldn't go away.
And you stayed in the bed?
Yeah.
Oh, you get an award for that.
I was afraid to move.
Michael, what do you think of that?
Well, it happens a lot. That's very common. And it's possible, it could have been a relative of hers. Have you had anybody recently pass in your family?
Well, my father had passed about 8 years before this happened.
Okay, let me ask you a question. In looking at the figure, could you tell if the figure was male or female?
It was male, definitely.
Okay, all right. So it could have been your dad. And what do dads do when they want to say goodbye? You know, I mean, my dad used to come into my brother and I in our room at night and just sort of stare at us, and we'd wake up and stir, and he'd hug us and tell us he loved us. Your dad might have just simply been coming to say goodbye and letting you know that he was, happy that you were his daughter. I mean, I don't know exactly, because I don't know you, but that happens a lot. Or it could be someone who lived in that house before and wondering, well, who are you and why are you in this bed? Because that happens too, But the next time that happens, and it probably will happen to you, I'm sensing that you're very psychic yourself.
Yeah, I'm getting that too.
And I'm sensing that you have been afraid of your abilities for a long time, but you really need to open up to them. If the spirits are trying to make communication, they're coming to you for a reason. And when they appear in white like that, that could be a master teacher coming to you, like Paramahansa Yogananda,
yep.
Who's
mm-hmm.
a spirit, is one of my master teachers. I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not Indian, but he came to me with Thelma Moss and my counselor when I was 16, and it's been with me ever since, and it's helped me a lot throughout my life. When I have questions and I don't know who to turn to, I mean, Thelma Moss is dead now, and I've never been able to connect with her, and you would think that she would have remained in spirit, but she didn't. I would have thought she would have been a master on the other side, but she didn't. She never came to me or anything. But I go to Yogananda, and I ask him for help, and he always has an answer for me. So this might be a spirit guide or a master teacher for you that's trying to open up, get you to open up and understand and not be afraid. And that very well could be your father. So I for some reason, I'm sensing that around you, Linda. So don't be afraid to open up to it. You can get all kinds of books and read about, psychic phenomena and your own abilities. You're very, very intuitive, though, aren't you?
Yes.
And you often finish the sentences of people around you. Are you married?
No.
Okay. But, I feel that you're the type of person that people come to you with their problems, and oftentimes you think you should have been a psychologist instead of what you do in your own career, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
Because you have this ability to give them counseling and guidance,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really know where it's coming from. It's coming from your spirit guides. It's coming from your higher self, and you really need to tap into that.
And, Michael, how important is it for Linda to recognize that,
If it's what she's meant to do
mm-hmm.
in this life, then that's why she called tonight.
Absolutely.
You gave her the ability to call and talk to us, and subconsciously they were pushing her and saying, call, 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 you'll get through, and you'll be able to ask a question, and this is what she needed to hear. And we might hear from her in 20 years. She might become the next Louise Hay or Marianne Williamson,
Oh, there you go.
This might be the turning point in her life and the catalyst to open the door for her to embrace her abilities. It's funny, I'm an opera singer too, and the first three touring Broadway shows that I got hired in all dealt with ghosts. The Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis, and The Secret Garden, where I actually played a ghost. And when I was in The Secret Garden, I remember laughing to myself, thinking, how crazy is this that I can't get away from ghosts no matter where I am? And why is it that I'm playing a ghost? And it was like the universe was saying, knock, knock, Michael, when are you going to open up to us and finally let us help you do the work that you were born to do? And this might be Linda's path as well. So.
Well, that's great. Linda, thank you so much. Let me ask you a question around this. Sometimes when something like this happens, Michael, are they always people? I mean, do animals have souls?
Oh,
can
yeah.
we be visited by an animal
Absolutely.
Spirit?
Absolutely. In fact, right now, it's so funny you asked that question. I have, I did something really unusual Sunday that I've never done in my life. I wrote a whole book on Sunday. I woke up at 2:00 in the morning. I had sung the Easter Vigil at my church at midnight, and I got home and I was kind of wired, but went to sleep, woke up, and wrote this whole book about, it's called True Hauntings Aboard Queen Mary. It's all about the Queen Mary ship and the ghosts there. And in the last 2 weeks, in my peripheral vision, I've had animals appear to me, a rhinoceros, cats, dogs, a camel, and I know who they are, even a hippopotamus. I know who they are. They're the spirits in a book that's coming out in the summer that I'm writing called Journey Beyond the Rainbow Bridge, a book of animal spirits, and it tells about where animals go when they die. Everything that's living has a soul. Plants, grass, water probably has a soul, we don't see it as spirits because they die and we're not focused into that. Although there are people who do that, horticulturists sometimes are. And,
mm-hmm.
But yes, animals have souls. Animals often come back to us when they die. You'll feel your cat jump up on the bed and sit on your feet as it did when it was alive. And it might happen for a couple of weeks, and then they move on. I have a friend who's a mortician. He's a recent friend, new friend of mine. And I asked him a question one time about embalming and how that works, and cremation and how that works. And he said, you know, it's interesting. We have this sort of unofficial word, this rule that you do not embalm a person for at least 3 days after they've died, unless they're Jewish or Muslim and they need to be buried by sunset. And you don't cremate their remains for 3 days, because it takes 3 days for the soul to completely leave the body.
Oh, wow.
And the same is true with animals.
Well, you know, I want to thank Linda for calling in and joining us. But, you know, one of the things I want to make sure we do, Michael, is give out your information, your website, and phone numbers people listening today that want to do full sessions with you. Let's give them some information.
Well, my website's really easy. It's the letter I, the letter C, the word ghosts, plural. So it's ghosts.com. My office number in California is area code 626-791-1129, or they can email me directly at icghosts2@hotmail.com or icghosts@hotmail.com. I have 2 email addresses, so usually when I do these shows, my emails fill up really fast. So if you get to a point where you can't get a hold of me, just be patient and try me again in a couple of days.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone. I think we may have time for another caller. Who do we have calling in right now?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi. Who is this?
My name is Vadim. I'm from New York.
Well, welcome to the show. How can we help you today?
I got a question about my job, my business. Boy, you know, it's a little bit shaky.
Okay. What kind of work do you do?
Well, I'm a dentist.
Okay. You better not be shaky with your patient. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
I'll tell you, he's scaring me now.
I know. I'm not going to go to you.
I'm not a dentist. I'm a dentist. I make,
I'm just kidding. I just couldn't resist. I love to laugh, and, you know, it just happens.
Me too. Me too.
You know, honestly, I'd have to do a private session with you, because, again, it's hard to hear you, and I would need to see your picture. I need to try to bond with your spirit guides, and I do a lot of counseling with people in business who are trying to figure out, you know, what avenue they should go. Should they continue to do what they do? You're very good at what
you just hit right on the nail. I'm a little bit tired of it.
Are you?
I have a feeling like I should change, but I don't know what which one.
Well, let's do a private reading with you, and we can try to figure that out. And I'm very good with stuff like that. It really. That information comes to me very clearly with what people need to be doing.
I'm going to have to call you.
Yeah, one thing I need to tell you, though, is that you need to get some amethyst and some rose quartz around
you. I have amethyst.
I'm sorry?
I have amethyst.
Oh, you do? Okay, well, get some rose quartz as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to bed at night, get little pieces and lay them on your forehead. You're having a lot of trouble with headaches, aren't you?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay, or is it back pain? But there's
back pain, isn't it? Back pain, right?
Okay. Yeah, there it is. There you go.
Amethyst and rose quartz together are stones that can draw pain out of the body, and they can really help to rejuvenate you. And that might be what you need to kind of figure out where you are in life as well. I also make jewelry. I make these bracelets. I call them Aura Chakra bracelets. And and when you go to my website, you'll see them on there under the gifts tab.
Sounds good.
I make jewelry that helps people to get balance back in their life again as well, because sometimes people get out of sync, especially people that work in service industries where they're working with a lot of clients and there's a lot of stress and fatigue. You know, you need to align your chakras. You need to meditate. Do you meditate at all?
Yes, sometimes. Yes.
Okay, good. Not sometimes. You need to do it every day.
Every night I have plenty of
you know what?
Meditation tapes.
Let me tell you something. When you're in the shower in the morning getting ready for work and you're thinking about your day, you're planning your day, you're meditating. That's meditation. When you're stuck on the freeway at the end of the night and you're thinking about what you're going to have for dinner, that's meditation. So you're already meditating probably and you don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but now you need to kick it up a notch and you need to do something that's going to help you to get more focused in on what you, what is it you want to do with your life? That's the question you need to ask yourself.
I'm a little tired of everything. Just maybe it's age.
I'm sorry?
Maybe it's age. I just went to a doctor again.
Age.
As I get news, I got a bad diabetes, but I don't believe
okay.
it.
Okay, well.
I check my sugar. It's nothing there.
All right, but you know what? You can reverse that, too.
Well, I'm going to give you the. I'm going to give you Michael's number so that you can write this down and give him a call and set up a session.
I think I got his on your website. Just okay, but anyway, give it to me.
626-791-1129. That's for everybody out there.
Right.
Give Michael a shout. 626-791-1129. I'm going to give you his email addresses as well, and I think you have a couple of them. You have I See Ghosts, and I want to spell that.
Okay.
The letter I, the letter C, ghosts, plural, at hotmail.com, or I see ghosts 2, the number 2, at hotmail.com. Everything is on Michael's website, iseeghosts.com.
What is the record again, please?
I do haunted house walking tours. I have.
I'm in New York.
Well, that's okay. You can come to California, and I actually do tours in other states. I have a tour in Gettysburg. I've had so many people from New York email me recently and ask if I do some tours in Manhattan. And eventually that will happen. As I do more, you know, television and radio and stuff, that'll probably happen because I'll want to visit those other places. And I love going around the country. And I can do in-person readings. I can fly anywhere in the world. The price then, of course, depends on the travel expenses because that has to be included. But I do group readings. I do what I call psychic parties. It's not like a private reading, but you can get a group of friends together, and it's a lot of fun to do, a lot of laughing.
Well, I think the folks calling in here tonight, they probably are going to want to sit down and do a private reading with you.
Because
there's a lot going on.
Right.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Have a great evening.
I wanted to mention a couple of my books, if I could.
I want you to mention a couple of your books, since you have, like, I don't know, a couple dozen.
I have 27 that I've written completely, but I'm going to be releasing about 5 books this year, which is unusual for me, but because all these things are happening so fast, you know, you've probably noticed this too, that, you know, the earth plane is shifting, and the earth is evolving, we are all evolving, and technology is coming in so much faster than ever before. I remember when I was 14 years old in 1978 or so, talking to my friend Michael McAnally about what life will be like in the year 2000. Will we be living like the Jetsons? You know, will we be flying in cars instead of driving? And we're not quite there yet. But look at technology. Look at how big screen TVs are going to become computers eventually, and there'll be telephones. And it's all happening so fast, but we need to slow down a little bit. We need to take a deep breath. We need to take one day at a time. Everybody on the planet needs to become, you know, more aware. Recycle your bottles and cans. You know, think about ecology. Think about green. We've got to start taking care of Mother Earth. We really have to do that.
Well, you know, when we launched Dr. Pat's Green Challenge last year. We launched it with a Christmas event, Dr. Pat's Green Christmas Challenge.
Uh-huh.
Upon the launch, we had instantaneously 2 million page views for the month of December.
Very good.
And so, you know, this is a time. It's a call to action, isn't
Absolutely.
It, Michael?
Absolutely. But in that, I'm writing a cookbook. It'll be out actually next week. It's called Channeled Recipes of a Psychic Medium and His Supernatural Friends. And I've interviewed a lot of my psychic friends and colleagues around, and I've asked them for their favorite recipes. But there are recipes on that I've channeled at, like, the House of Seven Gables in Salem, you know, Massachusetts, and other places, too. And then another book that is the first that's never been done. I don't think the cookbook's been done like that either, but this book is called True Hauntings on California Highways, a Book of Motorcycle Spirits, and it's all about people that have died in motorcycle tragedies that are haunting the highways in California. And that has already spun off. And when I was on Coast to Coast in October, we pre-sold like 200 copies of that book. It's been so popular, and it hasn't even come out yet. It'll be out next week as well. But I'm already doing another book called True Hauntings on American Highways. And a lot of this is not just telling stories about ghosts. A lot of it is historical information. It's teaching people about life and death experiences, letting them know that they don't have to be afraid of death. Hopefully, my message in the world is that you know, embrace it. No, we all have to go at some point, And if you embrace it now, then you won't linger on the earth plane and you won't be a ghost and I won't have to clean up your mess.
There you go. Michael, how can people find out about the books that you already have, but also the books that are coming out?
They can go to my website. Everything is listed there. My
Great.
Tours are there. There's a tour calendar. When they go to my main page, those tabs at the top, it'll say books. They click on that. My website has tons and tons and tons of things, probably too much to read. But I have clients who spend hours there, and all the books will be listed. They're primarily available on my website. I became my own publisher 2 years ago because I got tired of being yanked around by publishers that didn't want to pay in advance and only want to pay 3% royalties twice a year. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. But eventually, you know, they'll be available on Amazon and in other venues as well. But they can also come and meet me at the lectures I do, and I lecture all over the country, and I do a lot of charitable lectures to raise money for organizations and stuff, too, and I'm open to all those things. I'm a Pisces with an Aries rising, and I've always been a service person. I've always enjoyed helping others, and I think that's really why God gave me these gifts, was to
Absolutely.
Help people to learn how to help themselves and to be able to move forward and be happy.
Well, you know, this has been such a pleasure having you on the show tonight.
Thanks.
I want to thank you. Really, thank you so much.
Thank you so much too. I know. I really enjoy talking with you. I feel like I've known you all my life.
I know. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I forgot for a moment here that I was actually doing a radio show. I thought I was like talking to my best friend or something.
Well, we're going to have to do another show together. That would be a lot of fun.
You can count on it.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Let's give out that website again so folks know
sure.
how to contact Michael.
www. The letter I. The letter C. Ghosts, ghosts.com. Or if they do a Google search, I use my full name, Michael J. Curry, K-O-U-R-I. And the funny thing about my name, Curry, is Lebanese, and it means priest in Arabic. And that was one of my vocations in life. Is I thought that the spirits coming to me was that they wanted me to be a priest. But I'll tell you, 1 week in the seminary, I said, that's not the life for me.
Well, you know, that's what you and I have in common, because I thought for sure that I was going to be a nun.
Really?
Telling you. But, you know, I got kicked out of Catholic boarding school at age 7 years old.
Oh, my
and
God. You must have been an evil kid. A wild
You know,
one.
Michael, you know the story. When you're 7 years old and you go into Mother Superior and you tell Mother Superior that Jesus is talking with you.
Yeah.
Guess what?
I know. And they don't believe. And that's the sad thing, too. But I think more and more today, as we said, I mean, I do a lot of readings for nuns. When I was on Coast to Coast in October, I had 32 nuns from all over the world email me that wanted readings. 32!
Oh, my gosh.
A lot of nuns. And I know of stories of ghost nuns, where nuns that have committed suicide, and maybe because they just didn't know if the life that they chose was the right one for them, or they were so disturbed
yep.
and unhappy, and, you know, what they say, you know, nuns don't get none. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible. But with that said, there are a lot of women that become nuns that probably would have been wonderful mothers and wives and priests that you know, would be great fathers.
Well, all you got to do is watch The Sound of Music.
Well, that's true.
And that tells the whole story.
But it's not really a good story.
Not really.
But you're right. But there's a lot of that goes on. You know, the fact is that experts are still students. You're a student. I'm
Absolutely.
A student. I'm an expert in many areas, but I think when I stop learning, that's when my life will be over.
And that's a great way to end the show. Michael, thank you so
Thanks
much for joining
too.
Us here today.
Talk to you again soon.
What a fabulous show. Thank you all for tuning in. And to find out more about the other 12 hours of live radio that I'm doing, check it out on our website, www.thedrpatshow.com, thedrpatshow.com. And we've got lots going on. If you're in the Seattle area, come out to the Northwest Women's Show this weekend. I'm going to be doing 3 talks out there, and I'd love to connect with you. Be in New York for all you New Yorkers. I will be in New York in April. Michael,
Thanks.
Thank you.
I've got to come to Seattle, and you and I have got to go to the underground city, because that is haunted as well.
That's a date.
That we'll have to do that soon.
That's a date. And thank you all at BBS. You always push the right buttons and make things happen. We'll see you all next week.
Bye-bye.